Yeah, I would like to call the House Special Committee on Military Veterans Affairs Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, April the 1st. It is about 2 minutes after 1. And present committee members are Representative Kawasaki, Representative Book, Representative Dahlstrom, myself, Chair Bob Roses. And we are going to hear Senate Bill 214, which is hunting by military, Coast Guard, et cetera, et cetera. And House Bill 405, which we have previously heard. And that's the student loan forgiveness for military. So with that, I want to thank my committee aide, Josh Appleby, for helping put all this together, and our folks from the LIO and from the recording to help us along with this process. And if we get these two bills out of committee, I don't think we have any others that are pending. This may indeed be the last committee meeting we need to have for this year, but we'll see what happens, how far we get along. We're going to do what we need to do and not worry about whether we need another meeting or not. We'll just take things as they come. First one up will be the CS for Senate Bill 214.
Do we need it moved?
Just for procedures, why don't we move the CS as our working draft?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move the CS for Senate Bill number 214-25-LS1261/0 with any attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. If you'd like to state your name for the record and your affiliation and proceed with the presentation of the CS, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jody Simpson. I'm staff to Senator Huggins. I apologize for my voice today. I recontracted the plague. Senator Huggins sends his regards and his regrets that he's not able to be here today to introduce this bill to you personally, and he appreciates you taking the time to hear it today. The bill in the committee substitute version O, Oscar, before you today meets Senator Huggins' goals of providing a benefit to military members and their dependents as a token of our gratitude for their service to the country and by allowing the newly stationed personnel hunting and fishing privileges immediately upon report date. Senate Bill 214, if enacted, benefits active duty military and United States Coast Guard members and their dependents by waiving the 12-month waiting period for residency status. The majority of states in our nation have unique licensing statutes for active duty military members. At least 45 states offer resident license rates without regard to actual residency status to active duty personnel and personnel stationed in the state. Eight of those states, including Alaska, require personnel to be stationed in the state for a specific period of time, most often 60 to 90 days. At 12 months, Alaska's waiting period for residency, as provided by statute AS1605-415C, is by far the longest among all the states. And because military and Coast Guard personnel are transferred around the world, often without having a real say in where they are stationed, they are not similarly situated as others who choose to move to Alaska voluntarily. That fact that the transfers are involuntary and frequent means that they may be unable to establish the qualifications for normal residency and ever be able to take advantage of our state's residence preferences. So Senate Bill 214 waives that 12-month waiting period completely. Also, Senate Bill 214 entitles non-resident military members stationed in Alaska to apply for special military licenses at the resident rate for sport fishing and small game hunting. This provision, however, does not extend to big game licenses and tags. If military members who have not reached residency status want to go big game hunting, they must now purchase big game licenses at the non-resident rate, plus big game tags at one-half the non-resident rate. Senate Bill 214 would allow them to attain big game licenses and tags at resident rates. Current statutes require new arrivals to Alaska to hire a guide for the three most dangerous species, brown bear, grizzly, sheep, and mountain goat. Please be advised that Senate Bill 214 does not remove this requirement. The guiding component is retained for those species for that first year. In order to track guided hunts and enforce current laws, new arrivals will still be required to obtain a tag for brown bear and grizzly, sheep, and mountain goat. The tag is the mechanism by which the enforcement of the guiding component is tracked. However, hunters are eligible for resident rates, which in the case of sheep and goat is zero, so they won't pay a cost, but they still have to obtain the tag for those species. Again, that requirement to obtain a tag is an enforcement tool and is requested by the department. I wish to draw your attention to several items about the bill. The Department of Fish and Game indicated that there would be a fiscal impact to the department of about $40,000. And the department would hope that the lost revenue would be replaced, and the department supports this bill. You all should know that the proposed changes would not affect eligibility for permanent fund dividend checks or jury pools, and that was given to us by Jerry Burnett, the Department of Revenue. He confirmed that it doesn't affect those types of residency requirements. And as drafted, new arrivals would not be able to engage in personal use or subsistence opportunities for the 12-month period that's required now by law. And that would be for chitna dip netting, as an example, because they would still be defined as non-residents for the purposes of that statute. That was a concern of some of the folks in the Senate Resources Committee, and we've addressed that. You'll find in your packet a letter from February 2008 from the Alaska Professional Hunters Association objecting to the bill. That letter pertains to the original bill, and we have replaced the language that contains the guiding requirement in the bill so that their concerns have been addressed as well, and they have gone on record in support of the versions that you see before you. And just lastly, the January 1st, 2009 effective date allows the Department of Fish and Game to revise, print, and distribute application forms that reflect accurate information and work with the vendors and the applicants to achieve compliance with this new law. With that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'll conclude my comments and thank you for the opportunity to present this bill before you today, and I will try to answer any questions that you might have. I'm hoping that Mr. Kevin Saxby from the Department of Law is online, and also Kristen Wright, who is the licensing supervisor for the department. I'm hoping she is online as well.
They are both online and available to answer questions from the committee members. Do we have anyone online wishing to testify on this bill? We do not. Anyone in the audience wishing to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I am going to close public testimony, and we will go to the committee members for any questions or concerns that may have on the bill. Representative Ledoux.
My question relates to page 1, paragraph 7, and I know it's not new language, but it says permanently stationed. What does permanently stationed, since a military person would probably never be permanently stationed here or any place else?
Through the chair to Representative Ledoux, it's my understanding that folks in the military often have a permanent change of station, and they are moved from place to place, but they may retain their residency in Louisiana, for example. So for all intents and purposes, we are treating them as if they had residency status for this particular bill here, but they will be moving around.
That's a military term, PCS, meaning permanent change of stations, as opposed to someone that's on TDY, temporary duty. So you could be assigned permanently to Elmendorf, and then they send you TDY to another base for training, and then you come back to your assignment at PCS before you're permanently transferred. So it's a term of art for the military, for one thing.
Representative Ledoux. I know, like, for example, the Coast Guard. Normally people are in the Coast Guard for 3 years, and then they may get an extension for another 3 years. During that time that they are in a place and that's their regular home, that there's their normal place of duty, is that what permanently stationed is, even though it's foreseeable in the military that at some point they're going to be leaving?
Through the chair to Representative Ledoux, I'm hoping people are shaking their heads behind me, but it is my understanding that they have a home of record, perhaps, say, for example, Louisiana, but they would be permanently stationed in Alaska for the term of their duty. But they may retain their driver's license, or they may retain their voting record or whatever in another state.
But permanently stationed is like a word of art.
This is Chris Wright.
Chris, did you want to add something to that?
Yes, this is Chris Wright with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and I'm the licensing supervisor. And the permanently stationed in Alaska is their 3 years of term. It's usually 3 years that they're put on duty. It isn't permanent forever, but it's for those 3 years.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to make a motion, and I would like to move the CS for Senate Bill number 214-25-LS1261/0 with attached physical note and individual recommendations.
Seeing no one in opposition, the bill has moved.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation.
Good luck on your plague.
Thank you. Plague, it just keeps coming back.
I know.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, the next bill that we have before us is, we also have a CS for it, and that was originally House Bill 405, so if someone would like to move the CS that's in front of us, I'd appreciate that. Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move the CS for House Bill Number 405-25-LS1483-M with attached fiscal note.
Okay, that will be our working document. Thank you, and if you'd state your name for the record, and if you could go through what the changes are from the CS from the House Bill 405 that we heard last time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Chris Birdsall, and I'm an intern for Representative Crawford. And the CS before you addresses the concerns that were brought up in the last committee meeting, I hope. First change, all instances of forgiveness, forgive, or forgiven have been replaced with repayment, benefit, or repaid terminology. And this is to more accurately reflect that the state is repaying the debt for the borrower and the lender is not forgiving anything. On page one, line nine, this is the first change. We have changed the deployment criteria from being deployed to just Iraq or Afghanistan to being deployed to provide direct or indirect support for the global war on terrorism. And I checked with Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and this is a status that can be verified if the, as long as you ask for their orders, from what I understand. Then on page one, line 11, we added, if discharged from the armed forces, was discharged in honorable status. And then another change, page one, line 13, we added, is in good standing for the repayment of the loan and in full compliance with the terms and conditions of the loan. And we hope that these two changes will help to minimize some of the concerns about possible abuse of this benefit that were brought up last time. And then on page two, line one, we changed the portion of the loan that shall be forgiven by the state under this section is 50% of the total loan amount to the total unpaid balance of the loan. And this will encourage borrowers to apply for the benefit sooner rather than later. And so I believe this ensures that the state is only paying what they still owe, not what they borrowed. So they're not getting anything extra out of this. And then on page two, line five, we added, the commission may adopt regulations to implement this section. And this just gives the Student Loan Corporation the authority to adopt regulations to administer the benefit program. And then lastly, line seven, page two, we added the Coast Guard to reflect the amendment that was put in the last meeting. And those are the changes, and I'm open for questions.
Do you know whether or not changing this language in this CS changed the attached fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Diane would be able to answer that.
Diane, would you like to come forward and state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and assist us with that answer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Diane Behrens. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. And to your question, the method that we used to identify the qualifying aggregate balance was rather broad. And so I would not expect there would be a substantial change to that fiscal note of any kind.
Okay. Any questions for either Diane or the bill sponsor? No. Well, I appreciate the CS. I think you satisfied, as near as I can tell, all the questions that we had last time. So you did a good job on addressing our concerns there. So does anyone else have any other questions or concerns? Is there a motion? Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move the CS for House Bill Number 405-25-LS1483/M with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Seeing no opposition, the bill has passed from committee. Just a comment in passing that I realize that we get under the gun and things kind of get pressured, but if we could get our CSs a little bit sooner, that would be helpful, so we have a little more time to review them. That sort of, if we'd had another meeting, would have held this bill over to that meeting so we could have more time to look at it. But I appreciate the presentation you made, and I think that clarified my concerns without me having to go back to the CS and verify everything, so I appreciate that. Well, with that being said, while we're waiting for the bill to come around for us to sign, if this is indeed our last committee meeting, I certainly appreciate the indulgence of all the committee members. You guys have, we've done good work here. I think we've taken every bill that we had and either passed it the way it was or improved it. And you guys have done a good job in supporting our activities here, and I really appreciate it. And unless there's any comments from the committee members, with that being said, we are adjourned.